Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God chooses for himself whom he will. He draws to himself all who will come to faith in him. That's what we learn in John chapter 6. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." And so we confess in the third article, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith." In the Old Testament, God made many promises to those of the line of Abraham and Isaac. God protected them and led them, giving them his word and promises time and again. Yet as we know from the scriptures, not everyone believed God's word to them. Today it is the church to whom God's word applies, his promises and words of life and salvation. Yet again, not everyone in physical church buildings believes and trusts wholeheartedly in God's word. Nevertheless, God remains faithful to his word, whether or not those in the church buildings do. Those outside of the line of Abraham and those outside of the church often fall prey to idol worship. In the Old Testament, it was to Baal and Ashtoreth and different gods like that. In the New Testament, Zeus and those. And even today, we have the gods of self and possessions. But that was especially true in the Old Testament. God sent his people with his leader Joshua to destroy the Canaanites. The Canaanites had been caught up in idolatry, and so God sent them to destroy them. But Joshua and the Israelites did not destroy every Canaanite. Some of them survived. And in our gospel text, we hear about a woman who had descended from the Canaanites. This is her account. Jesus went to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now, before we get to Jesus' reaction, let's take a couple of minutes to look at these couple verses. Here we have a woman from Canaan, the land that had been so bad with idol worship, they had nearly been exterminated. Now, we might be tempted to think that it is only good, right, and proper that this woman's daughter should be oppressed by a demon. After all, her people were not believers in God. They were idolaters. But our enemies are not flesh and blood. God's problem with the Canaanites was not that they were more evil than other people. It's because they did not repent of their idolatry. That was years before this incident, yet the woman was still a Canaanite and had not yet become an Israelite. Despite all of these things, look at how this woman addresses Jesus. She said, "Have mercy on me." Now, any commentary or even people today might say such a thing to God if they're having difficulty. "Have mercy on me. Help me. Have mercy on me." These are the kinds of things people would say in that kind of situation. But look at what she says next. She said, "O Lord, Son of David." This is a very specific title. She's not talking to just some son of some David. She is referring to the line of David, the Davidic line, the line through whom the Messiah was to come. She was using this title. This is the title that the Jews to whom Jesus was speaking should have known. And here this Canaanite woman uses it. Now, this is not the first occasion where a woman from outside of God's people had heard his word, had heard about him and what he has done. We recall Rahab, the woman who hid the spies that Joshua had sent to Jericho. She knew exactly who God was. But it was not from books. It was from hearing the word of God passed along by the word of mouth. And she knew better than to take on God and his people. She knew God meant business. And so she said, I will hide you. I will hide you away from my own government. But please spare me and my family because I've heard about your God. And I've heard about what he did to the Pharaoh. Please keep me safe. Please keep me and my family safe. She knew it from the same place that anyone knows it, from God's word. The Holy Spirit works through God's word and the spreading of it. And he was most certainly active in bringing not only Rahab, but now here in our text, this Canaanite woman to faith in God. So she used the term son of David. She knew he was the only one who had the ability to free her daughter from the demonic possession. But Jesus did not answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged him. Then he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Here Jesus does some explaining as to what he's doing, what his mission, what he is all about. His mission is clear. He has been sent to the Jews, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not going to make it a precedent to be healing all of the Gentiles. Yes, he was going to heal this woman and this woman's daughter, but he was not going to do it over and over again. If you look at this text or other texts in the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus did not heal a whole bunch of Gentiles. This is the one event at this particular time in his ministry. Jesus thus distinguishes this one time from his mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this is not to say that his word should not or would not reach the Gentiles. After Jesus' death and resurrection, his apostles would go out from Pentecost, preaching and teaching to the Gentiles that they too could hear the word of God. And even here, he would grant this woman's request, but only as a father would allow a pet to eat the scraps from a master's table. Now here we have a commentator that is fairly well known, Linsky, who has a few things to say about these things, about these dogs. You see, in Jesus' day, there were two different kinds of dogs. There were ones that roamed, and then there were pets. Now when we think about the roaming dogs, we might think about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was outside the rich man's place and was having the dogs lick his wounds. Those were the roaming dogs. But those are not the kind that Jesus is referring to here when he talks about the Gentiles. Here, he's talking about the kind that would be used for pets, the kinds that would be able to eat the scraps off the floor from the master's table. Jesus was well aware of his mission and stuck to it. Yet at the same time, he would not deny this woman's request. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Like Rahab, this woman had heard the word concerning the God of Israel and the son of David, the Savior, to come. She knew full well that she was an outsider. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite woman. She knew that she had no reason or no hope assurance that Jesus would help her. But she also knew that he was her only hope. She knew that Jesus was her creator. And she clung to that truth through the working of the Holy Spirit in her heart. To this, Jesus does not refuse her request. He even goes so far as to say that her faith is great. Now, it's not to all people that Jesus makes this statement. In fact, if I'm remembering correctly from the meeting with the brother pastors, this may have happened about two times. But don't quote me on that. But we know that here, Jesus said, her faith is great. Do you cling to the faith that has been given to you? Do you trust God as your one and only hope? And not just in the bad times, but even in the good. No, when we examine ourselves, we find that there is nothing good in us. We had a moment of examining ourselves before confession. And we find that we are as those shoes I was showing the children a few minutes ago. We are worn out. We are things that most people would reject. And yet God has had mercy on us. Our salvation, like this woman's, lay outside of ourselves, outside of our own power. We could not have saved ourselves. And that's why God sent His Son Jesus into the world. And not only to this woman, but He would go on from there to the cross of Calvary. He would go to the cross and pay for all of your sins. Every single one of them. Everything you were supposed to do and did not do, and everything that you didn't do that you should have. Every sin has been paid on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit works this faith into you and me by the Word of God. It is then through Him that we can rightly say, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And again, this is not our work. This is the work of God, the God who sent His Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, the God who loves us even though we should have been rejected, the God who loves us even if we're Gentiles. In Jesus' name, amen.